desert wide by July. There's not a store around that's soon and near. Rich cow, it will cost us too much money. The situation is not funny. There's no way that we can feed them. What a bunch of lunch. The Savior had compassion on the hungry throng that day. His instructions were to feed them, not to send them on their way. The only food that could be found belonged to one young lad. Five tiny loaves and two small fish was all the food he had. What a bunch of lunch we need. What a bunch of folks to feed. We can't fail to feed these people. What a bunch of lunch. All we had is two small fish, bread enough to fill one dish. Left to find their own solution and avoid this mass confusion. There is a way that we can feed them. What a bunch of lunch. But they dropped the lunch to Jesus, and the people all sat down. He gave us the food and broke the loaves, and he passed it all around. When everyone was full and could not eat another bite, they filled 12 baskets with the scraps. It was some fantastic sight. What a bunch of lunch they fed. What a bunch of fish and bread. Bunch of lunch. When the mountain came to eat up there in the desert, he did to feed us to what to keep it. And by faith we can't believe it. Jesus had a way to feed them. What a bunch of lunch.
One time I wish I'd get you to look at me like that when I was preaching. And I'm cute. Come on, give me a break. Hey, what is that? All right, never mind. Forget you. Good. Now I do need to check on your comfort. Is it too cold? Raise your hand, too cold people. Too bad. You should have wore a jacket to church tonight. Turn 5 and 6 off, Brother Tom, would you please? That'll make it nice. We'll leave 7 and 8 going. We're good to go. Wonderful. Fantastic. 9 and 10 on? Brother Pete, 9 and 10? Or are you going crazy back there? This way or that way? This way. Good. Let's get our Bibles in our hands tonight, ready to go. Your music will make you or break you. It'll make you be the best Christian on planet Earth, and your music will have such an important influence in your life. Or it'll be the dead leg you drag around the rest of your days to get your music right. It is so important. And we're glad to have our friend Brother Linder with us tonight. He is from West Virginia, but he has shoes on tonight. That's important. But he's good. We had a preach in our chapel this morning. Had a great time with him there. Brother Linder, you come preach to us tonight, please.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. It's so good to be here this evening. And it's a joy to spend some time with your pastor and get to meet some of the young people this morning and some of you folks right before the church service. And it's an honor and a privilege to be here, and I thank the Lord for it. And thank you for that accommodations that you folks provide for guest speakers. That house is tremendous. And I don't know what ladies get together to do that. They must have a blast doing that, because I mean to tell you what, that place is stocked with food. And of course, it's such a burden to try to eat some of that food and all those good stuff, you know. And that song we sang for Brother Johnson, because I thought, could you imagine if your pastor was there when there wasn't food for everybody? No offense, I'm just thinking. I just thought to myself, could you imagine if it was his lunch? Anyway, but I love you, Brother. I got to show respect. I shouldn't do that. He's my elder, and I've got to show respect. I've been trying to work on that. I'm, of course, a very young pastor, and our congregation, many of them are my elders. We have a best years ministry in our church, ages 50 and above, and I'm always making my best effort to show a lot of respect and do honor to the best years ministry. There's a group of three elderly ladies that lived together, and one was a little bit younger, a little bit older, then a little bit older, and oldest one is eating her meal. And the oldest one finished up first. I'm going to go take a bath. She went upstairs and she drew the bath, you know, and she stepped in the bathtub, and she got her one foot in, and she thought to herself, wait a second, was I going in or was I coming out? She yelled out, "Help! I can't remember!" They're like, "What?" She says, "I can't remember. Was I coming in the bathtub or going out?" They both shook their head going, "Oh my goodness, this is crazy." And the second one, the second oldest started going up the steps to see her. And of course, you know, she started halfway up the steps. She stopped for a second. "Was I going up the steps or was I coming down the steps? I can't remember." She yelled, "Help! I can't remember! Was I going up the steps or was I coming down the steps?" And the sister sat at the table. The youngest one said, "Oh my goodness." And she said, "I hope I never get so old and forgetful as what they are, knock on wood. And as soon as I see who's at the door, I'm going to come and help both of you." Amen? And so I'm always trying to show respect to those elders. And you know, being a younger pastor, I started 26. We started a church in Manteca. And we sometimes have a hard time with it because being younger, you know, I still break out when I eat chocolate. And as a matter of fact, I had some chocolate last night. I got to watch it anyway. But it's a joy to serve the Lord. It is, even younger or older. And it's good that the Lord brings good friends by your way, like your pastor. And he's been a good friend. But I appreciate the opportunity and honor. I don't deserve it. But I want to bring you something tonight about, he asked me to talk about music. And hopefully I'll be a blessing to you. I come to you as an expert in the area of music. I've got a doctorate degree in the area of music. And actually, I don't. I don't know. Music is not something that I'm an expert in. And my wife, however, is very excellent at music. Matter of fact, she wrote the message for me tonight so I can preach it to you because I don't know nothing about it. And she knows a lot about music. She can explain it to you. I could even repeat what she said about different things about music, about what makes music wrong sometimes, and the different types. Those of you in here that know music, you would understand it if she described it to you. So tonight I'm not coming to you as an expert about music. I don't know. Brother Trevor knows music. Other people, I thank God for those that have a good knowledge of all the music and the notes and everything else. But I want to come to you, somebody who's not an expert at music, but yet we can still look at the Bible and we can still learn about music and have a proper understanding about having the right kind of music. You see, you don't have to be a musical expert to say, "I can keep my music right." And there's some simple biblical principles. Usually in a message, the very first part is where you want to listen to the most. And then, of course, everything else just kind of builds off of it. Tonight, I'm going to do it totally different. So you stay with me. Stay wide awake. I'm going to ask them to turn that cold air back on, all right? Stay wide awake. And the first part is not the main part. We want to have it. We're going to learn something from it. The very last point I have is not even lengthy. But it is the nail in the coffin on this thing about music. I am absolutely convinced, as I'm standing here tonight, if you will listen to my third point, my last point, we'll leave here with a conviction, a solidity in this thing of music and singing. I'm keeping it right, and we'll have a better understanding of what this thing's all about music. I really believe that. It's not complicated, it's very simple. But let's first real quickly go to the Lord in prayer and ask His help, all right? Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for tonight. There's a whole bunch I want to say, and we got limited time, so Lord, I'll try to jump right in. I thank You for Brother Johnson and his friendship, and honestly, and his wife. They've been so kind in this church. And Lord, someone like me shouldn't be here. He's just trying to be a blessing to me. I'm not ignorant of that, Lord. He just wants to be an encouragement to the young preacher. Lord, trying to do work for You, Lord, the best we can down in Manteca. And Lord, I thank You for that, Lord. And so I hope in return, Lord, I'd be a blessing to him, his wife. And I pray these dear people here tonight. And Lord, if they can learn one thing, Lord, of all I say, just one thing from Your Word, and get fired up about it, God, it's worth it this evening. I pray the young people will listen good. I pray the older people like, even the children. And Lord, let us leave here, God, excited for You and more solid in our area of music, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let's take your Bibles real quickly. Turn to the book of Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, very familiar portion of Scripture. And we're going to read it tonight. There's just a few main things I want to talk about with music. Like I said, I only have three major points. I'll take my watch off, not because I'm going to look at it, but it makes you feel better if I do. If I set it right there, you'll think that I'm paying attention a little bit more, but not really. I'll take my watch off if I keep it. And you say leave at 8:15, right? Usually 8:15, I'm going to try to keep your normal time schedule. We've got plenty of time. So Exodus chapter 32, look at verse 1. Let's stand together for reading God's Word real quickly. We've already prayed, but we'll just stand for just a couple verses, and then we'll be seated again and get right into the message. Look at verse number, I want you to look first of all at verse number 17. We're going to go back and read a few more. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." Now, probably everyone that's auditorium has probably sometime or another heard a message about that, this area of music. Maybe you haven't. About how that when Moses came down from Mount Joshua, they heard some music going on that sounded like war. And I'll tell you what, that was the first recorded history of rock and roll music you'll ever find. And no doubt about it, that's exactly what it sounds like, the thump, the booming, the banging, and all that bunch of stuff. You know, these cars that drive by, and they got a $500 car rusted out all over the place. The wheels are barely on. Piece of junk vehicle, but they got a $3,000 stereo system in there blaring. The windows are just kind of moving in and out, you know. That's what was going on here. They come down off the mount, and they hear this loud roaring noise, and they said, "Look, it's the sound of war." And Moses already knew. He talked to God. It wasn't war. There's some music going on here. And so let's look back at verse number 1. And let's go ahead and be seated. I'm going to do it before we pray. Go ahead and be seated. We honor God's word. Let's sit down now, and we're going to jump right into it. And when they saw that Moses, verse number 1, delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man which brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." And Aaron said unto him, "Break off the golden earrings, which is in your ears, and your wives, and your sons, of your daughters," read and fast for on purpose when we get to something here, "and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it, a molten calf. And they said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel.'" And by the way, you mark it down, music has a god. Every bit of music that's ever played has some god that it's honoring and causing you to worship. My friends, tonight what we want to do is we want to make sure our music is honoring and we're worshiping the right God. Amen. And so, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And Aaron saw it. He built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation, said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And he was up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Well, I tell you what, that goes together, don't it? False gods, wrong kind of music, sit down, eat, get drunk, rise up and play. Hey, that's what America, what they're trying to convince everybody to do. Go work your job, bring your money in. Have the god of the television set, or the god of the worldly things that we want. I'm not preaching. I'm just saying that people let things control them. The god of your car, the god of your house, all a bunch of stuff. Then we're going to rise up and play. Let's go to the casinos, and let's go to the bars, and let's go to the movie theaters. Let's do all this stuff. Let's just play and have fun. That's the philosophy of the world. Look on down here, though. It says in verse 7, "The Lord said unto Moses, 'Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, behold, a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation.' Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, 'Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power, with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief he bring them out and slay them in the mountains to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against the people.'" Now let me just jump on down. Look at verse number 15. "And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of testimony were in his hand, and tables were written on both their sides, and one side and the other were they written. And the tables were work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven on the tables." In verse 17, "When Joshua heard the noise," we just read that, "the people, and they shouted, and he said unto Moses, 'There's a noise of war in the camp.' He said, 'Is not the voice of them that shout for mastery? Is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome? But the noise of them that sing do I hear.'" See, Moses said exactly what they're doing. He said, "These people are singing, believe it or not." You ever do that? I tell you what, some of you have been, before you're saved, you remember when your mom or your grandma said, "You call that singing?" You know, they said that for a reason. You can't, it's supposed to be singing, but you can't really understand what they're saying. Just a bunch of garbage. But look what it says here. "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh the camp, and he saw the calf and the dancing." People always ask why dancing is wrong. The biblical dancing, I ain't got time to describe to you tonight, is a whole different thing than what people and the charismatics and everybody else make it to be. But the only time men and women danced together in the Bible is when they were in here sinning against God. That's the only place you'll find it. It says, "And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of the hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it. In the fire, and ground the powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink. Moses said to Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought this great sin upon them?" Now listen, he tries to shake it off and say, you know, look, it's the people, this calf came out, and all this stuff. Look at verse 25. "And when Moses saw that the people were naked, Aaron had made them naked under shame upon their enemies." And then, of course, Moses deals with it. So this music, my first point I want to make to you tonight, very simple point, is whether we want to admit it or not, music has an effect on us. And I don't have to be a musical expert to know that if I'm listening to something, there's some kind of effect that's taking place. What kind of effect is happening to me when I'm listening to that music? These people listen to music probably for, I mean, the first time that they learned it somewhere, obviously, but here they're playing this rock-like music, no doubt about it by the way it sounded. And all of a sudden everybody starts taking their clothes off, dancing around, and acting like a bunch of imbeciles. Why? Because music has an effect on you. By the way, you may be in here tonight. You say, what's wrong with rock music? What's wrong with this? It's not that bad. My friends, it's bad because of what it causes you to do. You look at all the bars that play all that bunch of stuff. You look at all the teen raves and parties where all that stuff's being played. I'm telling people are taking their clothes off. Hey, don't do it. I don't. If somebody turn on MTV, I guarantee you'll see people taking their clothes off like crazy. Somebody has, one of the people said, what's so bad? They're talking about MTV and this. And I said, look, how can you look at that bunch of nakedness? Put it on mute and you still can't watch it. Why? Because music has an effect. That's why young people all over America are in fornication, a bunch of garbage, because the music they're listening to is affecting them, and that's exactly what it did here in the Scripture. Rock music has an effect on you. Other music has an effect on you. Soft rock and all that stuff. And by the way, the wrong kind of Christian music has an effect on you. I don't care what words you put into it. You can put Jesus Saves into it, but you think it's the wrong kind of music, man, and you watch what you're doing with it, I guarantee you, I've got family and stuff and people caught up in that charismatic movement. And I used to be as a teenager in one of those churches involved in that garbage. It looks good on the outside, but it would shock you. The adultery and fornication that takes place in those things. I remember being a youth group in a church, one of the biggest churches in Parkersburg, West Virginia. It was a charismatic type church. Man, I'm telling you what, if you knew what went on in the teen group of that church, they didn't go soul-winning like the teenagers here. They didn't have a on-fire prayer meeting. They didn't have where decisions made where young men were getting called to preach and young ladies said, I want to be in the ministry. So they were getting together and having their big love fest and everything else. And many times they'd show up to church drunk. But boy, they liked their music. See, some of you here, you want to hang on to the music, but you got to realize music has an effect on you. It doesn't matter what kind of words they are. It has an effect on you. What do you want to do when you're listening to this? Let me show you something else to show you what I'm talking about. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Real quickly, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse number 15. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Hope you can take the piano real quick. It says, an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit is from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Saul said to the servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him unto me. Then answered one of his servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is a cunning and playing, a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters. And a comely person, the Lord is with him. Well, that's kind of funny. Shouldn't Saul know who that is by now? Considering Goliath and everything else. Kind of an unusual thing, but anyway. And verse number 19, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, the bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David, and his son, unto Saul. David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and evil spirit departed from him. You will find David, before the great mighty Goliath scene, and after scene, he plays somewhat, and Saul is affected by the music that's played. I almost picture a thing in there, we ain't got time to look for it, I almost picture a scene in there where Saul's got his javelin in his hand. Remember when he's mad at David later? And he's jealous of him? And Saul quits playing, all of a sudden the javelin's thrown in the air. I can almost see David playing until he's almost exhausted, you know, because Saul's calmed down. And all of a sudden, as soon as he quits, that javelin goes in the air, and he's running from it. But it had an effect on him. Now, he had obviously an anger problem. And he had this problem. He's just getting all worked up. Let me tell you something. That's why you see teenagers committing suicide. That's why some people walk into Columbine and places and blow people's heads off. Is the music affected you. You watch the anger and the resentment from young people because of the music they're listening to. It's all worked up. I'll tell you what, if I come in and I come to the house and I'm at a rough day and I'm old, my wife starts playing something, not like it's Play Blessed Assurance. I'm all, let's set the chair, listen to that. Does that not affect you? Does that not have some kind of effect on you? I don't even care if you're not saved tonight, that has an effect on you. Thank you, Hope, that's good. I imagine David, he wasn't blessed with church, but I imagine David had a song because David loved God. David was a man after God's heart. David didn't have the contemporary music of his day.
David didn't have the rock music. David had songs of God. And I can imagine Saul was all worked up and then out of shape. David would start playing something like, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." Can you imagine? And then all of a sudden, Saul had to calm down. Music has an effect on you. That's why your preacher will get up here and preach, "Bless God, you have the right kind of music." You shouldn't be listening to that contemporary garbage and all that much stuff. And you go, "Oh, bless God, that's his conviction. I ain't worried about it." You pop in your own stuff anyway. That's fine for the church, that's fine for them, but for me, I like this a whole lot better. And what you're doing is you're putting in music that's affecting you, but it's not always affecting you in the right way. And so tonight, one of the things I want to convince you is music has an effect on you. So what kind of music you're listening to, how is it affecting you and your service for God? And there's a whole bunch I want to get to. I'm going to jump ahead. So let me just go ahead to the next point. Before I do that real quick, music affects, it appeals to either one of two things, okay? Number one, you notice the flesh or the spirit. It's one or the other. So now I just got, you know, I've been to those concerts before. Man, my spirit was fresh. No, your emotions was. You cannot tell me the Spirit of God was refreshed in you. They're up there, man, and they're making love. That microphone, they're swaying back and forth. Oh, you know? And you're going, oh. You look over beside you, you better hope it's your wife there if you're married. Oh. That stuff has an effect on you. People can't say, is it affecting your spirit or is it affecting your flesh? That's why somebody said, "Man, the music here is too strict," but how are you affected? Do you sit in the church and when they're playing the music, do you think about love? And the girl that you're so hot on, fellas? Or the boy you got the likes for, girls? Or do you think about all the romance? Or do you think about, what do you think about when the music's played here? Do you think about the Lord Jesus? Of course you do. You may criticize the music of churches like this if you're in here tonight and you don't like that music. But I'm telling you what, one thing's for sure, you cannot deny the fact that when you're in a church and the music's right, you're thinking about the Lord and your flesh is going, "Oh man, what wrong can I do?" The music has an effect on you. Now, next thing. Next example I want to give. Go ahead and stay there because I want you to play something in a second. Next, number one, if you take notes, music has an effect on you. Number two, what does it sound like? Remember, we just read in Exodus, it says, in verse 17, it says it had a sound like war. That's not the noise of war going on. By the way, a proper thing in noise, it's not music, amen? Noise of war, what does it sound like? Now listen to me. Whether it be rock or whether it be whatever, if something was just played, could you tell what it is? See? I guarantee the average contemporary Christian song, if you started out, you would not know it's a Christian song unless the words came out. That stuff makes the sink of stick. I'm thinking of this church is dun, da da dun, 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 da da dun, dun, da 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 da. And you're just all ready for whatever to come out. You don't know what's going to come out. That stuff makes me sick. What does it sound like? We're going to play something. Real quick, before I get into a lot of this, I'm going to show you something else. But real quick, play that one song. Play it the right way. Play it the correct way. Listen, play it loud. Jesus said, Jesus said. Think about the Lord, ain't you? Amen, that's good. Oh, boy, ready for preaching, aren't we? That's good. All right, start from the beginning. Play it a different way. Hey, fellas, how you doing? See the difference? It's the same song. It's a good song. Thank you, hope it's good. Just a little bit of change. Hey, I'm listening to Jesus say, for that's one of the old songs in the songbook. But how's it being played? See, there's a difference. How has it affected me? The first time, I'm telling you, when she played, I just want to love about church service. I get like a kid at Disneyland. Or at Christmas time, the night before, you know, you can't sleep. It's like, oh man, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? Every church service, you ask him, I'm fired up, man, if he's in there with me before. I just can't wait. I'm listening to that piano playing. I'm listening to singing. I'm thinking about my Jesus. I'm thinking about souls getting saved and lives being changed. It gets me all fired up, man. I want to say amen and glory to God. But if I had the other stuff playing, I guarantee you what I'd be thinking about. Dancing stuff. And all that bunch of junk, man, and garbage. Hey, listen, what does it sound like? Thank you. I think that's about it. That's all I'll do tonight because we got time limit. What does it sound like? Does it sound like pretty easy to distinguish hard rock and rap, doesn't it? Well, they got these DC talks and all that bunch of stuff. They had different groups when I was younger. Man, they say where Billy Graham will get with them and pray with them. The Holy Spirit of God will fill them, but they get up their souls to get saved while they play their hard rock for Jesus. Rocking for Jesus, rocking for Jesus. Boy, this moves you want to serve the Lord, huh? That other thing is rapping for Jesus. That doesn't make any sense. Let's throw some good words in there. Hey, we're King James people. The King James Version, 1611. It's the only ticket that'll take you to heaven. It's not the book where mommy must live. Pray, tell me the book that God did give. Would that make you really want to just be strong on the King James Bible or what? First of all, I'm a preacher and a bunch of other things against me. I can't dance. But I understand, hey, you know what? That's wicked stuff. Yet they're doing that and saying it's good. Hey, look, that's the fundamental song, King James Version, right? No. It's wicked. What does it sound like? It sounds like a rap song. It sounds like a hard rock song. But you know what? The thing about it is, we can distinguish that. We're having a harder time distinguishing this new wave of contemporary music that's coming. See, I was on the other side. I know what it was like. Can I tell you something tonight? I've been in the churches that had their own special son. My parents were taking me every church underneath the sun before I got a good church as a young teenager, before they were saved, I might add. They could sit in a bunch of garbage and never get saved. I'm telling you what, when I hear that stuff that sounds like that, it makes my skin boil. I don't want to ever go back to the music where I came from. I don't want to go back to that bunch of garbage. And it sounds anything like that contemporary junk. Thought out, I don't want it, amen. God changed my life as a teenager, and I know what's right now, and I don't want to have anything even close. That's why if I go to an independent so-called fundamental Baptist church, and they get up there and their movie screens go, man, they start playing that music, man, I want to puke. It makes me mad. And I'll tell you where Lox comes from. I'll never forget. You remember Amy Grant? Steve Green, oh, as much others. I'm telling you what, I was in a church where she was praised. Now listen, you ever notice that she slid from her Christian music into her soft rock and you couldn't even tell the difference in her style of singing? Why? Because all her singing, she's singing soft rock before, she's only having Jesus words to it. It's the same thing. From a distance, God is watching us. That's soft rock. You know what they're doing in churches right now? In our type of church, they're getting up there and they're singing. They might as well sing a Disney song. They have the music, the prelude, the synthesizer. By the way, some churches, if you took the synthesizer, I don't know if they could have music. That's the truth. Synthesize everything to death. They start that thing out with that whole introduction. You know, the wind's blowing. Then you picture that little girl that half her clothes off, man, up on a cloud somewhere. A whole new world. A brand new place I'd ever do. Except change the words a little bit. See what I'm talking about? That soft rock. You see, what they've done is they've taken it and they've got it in churches just like ours. And you've got a pastor that has enough love for you to say, we don't want that bunch of junk in our church. I guarantee there's some people who wouldn't want me to come and preach because they know what I feel about this stuff. I'm sorry, but I don't even want anything that's right around the border close to it. Get me as far away from that bunch of garbage as you possibly can. I was in a pastor's meeting somewhere, and I won't say where. I was new to California, didn't know anybody. I thought everybody was excited for God. I thought it said independent fundamental, man. It was independent fundamental. I had a big rude awakening. I'm sitting there, man, I'm telling you what, and all of a sudden the introduction came. Look at the screens together. Whoa, screen, whoa, holy cow, in a movie theater. Seek the Lord, bah, bah, bah. Seek the Lord, His holiness. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His holiness. For the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. Come, let us seek the Lord. About that time, brother, I'm telling you what. My hair's raised up. My jacket's coming off. I wanted to get in a fight with somebody. That's not the right attitude, amen? Music has an effect on you. See, it had an effect on me. Bring them on, man. Hey, I'll tell you what, listen to me. You ought to know. No, listen, when you recognize the wrong kind of music, it ought to make your skin boil because you love your Savior. By the time we get that third point, we'll tell you something, you will get even more mad about the wrong stuff. You say, this has such a fighting spirit and wrong spirit about different types of music. People ought to have their own convictions. We'll tell you something, if it ain't God honoring, Christ honoring, if it's of the devil, we ought to be mad about it, amen? Yes. And so, what does it sound like? Does it sound like soft rock? Does it sound like Disney? They breathy all when they sing it all? Another thing you have to recognize, does it sound like country music? Now, I don't know if it's like it around here. I see a lot of pickup trucks, so I'd imagine they got a little bit of country problem around here. Where I'm from, man, country is it. West Virginia, I came out here to start church. I'm telling you what, Nashville was a regular pilgrimage for our families, you understand? I mean, it was a shrine almost. I mean, country music is it. I mean, you could still be a Christian, but you had to accept country, period. That's part of it. By the way, so-and-so's a Christian, so-and-so's a Christian. They sing goodly songs, too. Yeah. Sound like, you know, if you hear the music starting to play, say, can you give us an example? Okay, you hear the music playing, if you can picture that pickup truck with the hound dog picking the head out the window with the deer's blowing, the guy with the can of beer in his hands, then it's a pretty good idea. It's a country-like Christian song. It's what it sounds like. Does it sound like a country? Does it sound like listen to me, does it sound like, without a question, this is God's music? You see, you ought to be able to hear the music played and in your mind automatically say, hey, that's a song of God. That's a gospel song. You ought to stop your tracks and say, hey, did you hear that? Praise the Lord, that's good stuff. I mean, if I flared my windows down and blared my music and I drove by your house, could you tell it was God's music? What about yours? What about your cathedrals and all that bunch of stuff? Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. Well, that's big here. That's big everywhere. But try blaring it and drive by someone's house and see if they know that you're listening to country God's music. Look at here, pop, 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 and all that bunch of stuff. So, what does it sound like? Now, there's a whole bunch more said. Let me get to the most important thing right here as we start to get closer to the end. There's a whole bunch of scripture. I don't know if we can get to it all tonight, but let me just say this. The most important truth you'll ever know about music, if you take notes, this is what you want to write down. If you forget everything else I say tonight, the most important truth you'll ever know about music. Brother Jonathan, I spent some time this afternoon going through it again. I went and checked everyone I could find. Everywhere I could find it. You go home, prove me wrong, this pastor wrong. You look it up yourself, prove me wrong. But I looked everywhere I could find singers singing or music. And even instruments in many cases. Hundreds of scriptures about singing and music and instruments. He said, preacher, yeah, I'll tell you where exactly I'm headed. People aren't saying enough of it. Singing is for one purpose. And one purpose only. Singing is for God Almighty. And for Him, it's for us. We have singing. In other words, listen, we get the idea. You come to church, you say, you know what, Pastor, this is the kind of music that pleases me. Why don't you play the music that we like, or why don't you have an open mind? Because He shouldn't be interested in your music, or my music, but His music. Singing is for God, and singing is for the Lord, and our music, our pianos, our instruments, everything we do ought to be for God and not for us. Yes, praise God, we get to be blessed. I don't know about you, I get blessed. But that's not the primary reason. Yes, we get to be inspired. Yes, we get to enjoy it. But praise God for it. But the number one reason is singing and music is for God Almighty. Look it up. Hundreds of verses. The only time that it wasn't for God is when it was Nebuchadnezzar wanting to bow down to His image. Or there in Exodus when they were having that wrong kind of music. The only kind of times was when it was the wrong way. Every other reason was for unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Take your Bibles real quick. Turn to Psalm 7:17. Still with me, say amen. Psalm 7:17, quickly. We got to look at some scripture tonight. So shall I love this. Dr. Curtis Hudson quotes this many times in his writings. Look at Psalm 7:17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Take your Bibles down, turn if you would, to Exodus 15. Let's go back to Exodus 15. I can almost take you to every book of the Bible. We don't have time tonight. Exodus 15. If you don't get there, and if I start reading, that's okay. Write them down, look it up later, see if I'm lying to you. We're going to move along. Exodus 15, verse number 1 says, Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown in the sea. They talk about all the things God had done. Lord is my strength and my song, and so on. Now take your Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5. Deborah and Barak, seeing a mighty work from God. Deborah was Spirit-filled and used of God, yet she had a man go in front of her and lead the war to do a cause of Christ. But when the victory is brought, look what they had to say. Look at Judges chapter 5. Look with me at verse number 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak the song of Abinoam on that day, saying, Praise you, Lord, for the avenging of Israel when the people willing offer themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Now take your Bibles with me. Turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. You pretend it's like a sword drill. You try to see how fast you can get there. 2 Samuel chapter 22. I got a lot of information. I have a habit of talking very fast. You can do like our church. Order the tape and CD. Have them play in slow motion. You'll understand every word perfectly. Our tape sales are so high in our church, not because I preach good, because people won't understand it. They play in slow motion. Alright, 2 Samuel chapter 22. Look with me at verse number, look at verse number 5. No, I'm sorry, verse number 50. I'm sorry, 50. A few verses over, amen. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. Now take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Amen. Boy, I tell you, aren't we using our Bibles? Amen. I'm just using just a few. I'm telling you, I told my wife, I said, man, I said to Dad, I was going over something. I said, man, I tell you what, I wish I could go through every scripture and just preach out every scripture. I'm telling you, it's so wonderful and glorious. It's such an incredible thing to see how many times and how many ways. And for so many reasons, we should sing to God Almighty. Amen? Hey, I'll tell you why some of you don't like singing too much. You ain't got nothing to sing about. You get saved, you get close to God, you get your life where it needs to be, you will have a song, you have something to sing about because God's done something for you. People say, I've heard people say, I'm not much for music. Let me tell you something, I wasn't either. That's true. Before I was right with God as a teenager, when I got away from God, I didn't like music that much. We had it, and I had it in my car to be cool or whatever. Whatever the latest thing was, I'd get with my brothers. I really wasn't a music person. I could care less if music was on or not. It wasn't a weakness for me to give up. I didn't like music. I just wasn't a music person. But can I tell you something? Today, in January of 1991, when I gave my life back to God, in March of 10th, 1991, at 11:30 at night, I was called to preach. But let me tell you something. When I got my life in order, and I started to walk with God, in faith, within the church, in soul winning, and praying in my Bible, I have loved music. I love singing. I can't stop. I love it. I sing all the time. It's funny, Dr. Randy, sometimes I'll sing during preaching. He said, man, he goes, you sing all the time. He says, great message, along with six specials you sang while he's preaching. I said, can't help it. I mean, I tell you what, I love to sing. I was in the motel room there in the Philippines, preaching for me. I was in the motel room, and I was the night before. I mean, here's a long flight. I'm dead tired. There's these people partying, making a bunch of noise. I mean, this Mac keep me up, man. I'm tossing and turning. And I wanted to lose my cool and give her and tell him something, you know? I said, well, maybe God wants me to pray more. So 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, about 3 o'clock, they started calming down and going to sleep. Then all of a sudden, I started finally dozing off, and then the 5:30 alarm goes off. Beep, beep, beep. Whoa, okay, here we go. So what'd you do, preacher? They were sound asleep. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I started singing songs like crazy. Then I was just singing praises to God. I was probably for the wrong reasons, but I sang anyway. But I love to sing. I love to sing wherever I'm at. People catch me singing. I don't mind. It doesn't matter. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not a good singer. I don't have a good voice. I really don't care. But I have something to sing about, you understand? There's a God who saved me. He called me to preach. I don't deserve it. Put me in the ministry. I don't understand it. Why he does what he does. But I have something to sing about. And my friends, if you got something to sing about, praise God, you've got a reason to sing to God too. Amen. And if you don't, come to the invitation tonight and get that thing settled and have a reason to leave and sing. Amen. Tonight. All right. Where are we at here? We're in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Look at verse number 9. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk to you of all his wondrous works. And we can go on with that, but let's turn to another scripture. Psalm 47. I like this one. Psalm 47. Got a lot of stuff in this one. Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Still got time according to my watch. Psalm 47. I've decided already, if I ran out of time, I was going to cross some of these out and all that. Psalm 47. Look at verse number 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to the R. Is that a capital K? Who do you think that king is? That's not David. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing to God. Sing to Jesus. Amen. And it says, sing praises. For God is the king of all the earth. And look at all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. By the way, that's a pretty good thing for a night like tonight with understanding. Another, sing praises. Understand how you should sing to God. Amen. And we're going to get that in a minute. Now look at Psalm 33, just in case you say, well, preacher, it says sing. It doesn't say nothing about the music. You mean the words. What if we sing the words to sing praises to Him? Isn't that acceptable to God? You see, God has a point. He covers everything. He don't want just the words. He wants the accompaniment. Amen? Look at Psalm 33. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. I had somebody write me one time. They said, you talk about being an old-fashioned church. You talk about being this and that. But your church is loud. The piano was loud and the special was sung loud. And you're preaching. My goodness, that was loud. Blah, blah, blah. Loud is worldly. I ran back and said, man, thank you for trying to correct me. I appreciate your elder being an elder in the Lord. Blah, 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 blah. I said, there's only one problem with it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say loud's wrong. I know you scripture like this. Matter of fact, there's times where it says to be loud. As regards to music, I quoted that. It says we ought to play it loud because God wants to hear it good. Amen? God doesn't have a hearing problem. He don't have to turn down his hearing aid. Look, it sounds good to me. As long as it's right, God don't even care the volume. Matter of fact, I had to turn the scripture, cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, tell my people, listen, loud's not wrong. But the wrong way is wrong. And God said here, listen, He said, when it comes to all the accompaniment, the instruments, whether it be a piano, organ, a trumpet, whatever you want to play along with it, it ought to be for the Lord too. I don't just want the words. I want the things that accompany the words, too, to be for me. Amen? And, all right, let's take your Bibles now and turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Hurry, Psalm 96. Amen. Psalm 96. Verse number one, singing the Lord a new song. That new song doesn't mean a contemporary song. It means we ought to be singing all the time. Amen. I've got a new reason to sing for Him, by the way. Amen. Just this week, I got a new reason to sing for Him. And I tell you what, I was out there in our building project, and we're just a step behind you. We're just putting the walls together right now. And I'm telling you, they let me go out there and nail some boards together. Man, I'm telling you, I couldn't keep quiet. I mean, yes, it's Carter. I'm nailing this nails in the boards. I start singing and praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. I got a new reason to shout. God's done another miracle. Sing the Lord a new song. Look what it says here. It says, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. I preached a whole message at our church Sunday night about praising God. And I talked about how the skies, the stars are put in place. The stars and the moon and the universe, almost a visual braille that does nothing but sing the praises of Almighty God. I said the clouds that go through the air, sing praises of Almighty God. I can show you a bunch of scripture to prove it. All the trees that are in the forest, sing praises of Almighty God. The rolling hills, sing praises of Almighty God. The wildlife that you see, the beautiful wildlife, sing praises to Almighty God. The waterfalls that flow, the rivers that flow, sing praises to Almighty God. I said everything on this earth sings praises to God. But bless God, the people that God made don't always sing praises to Him like they should. God forbid that everything else praise God like it's supposed to, but you and I don't. Amen. Sing praise to God. Look at now. You say, well, that's all Old Testament preacher. Well, I'm glad you said that. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. They covered music, New Testament and Old. And they all had something they agreed on. Romans chapter 15, look at verse number 9. Everybody's wide awake. Praise the Lord. Man, we don't have to turn the air up anymore. We're doing a good job. Hallelujah. Amen. Even though we're using a lot of Scripture, look at chapter 15, look at verse number 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as is written, for this cause will I confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse number 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. That's where we're at right now, right? I will sing praise unto thee. When people come together to church, man, they want to be sung to and have the songs that please them. But bless God, He said, when we come to church, we're here to sing for God. Amen. That's why we sing. Some people say, I'm just not a singer. That's why I'm not going to sing the hymns. Let me tell you something. Look at my God-given eyeball, man. Let me tell you something. The reason why you're sitting in that chair, you better grab that phone book. You better open it up. I don't care what it sounds like. You open up your mouth and sing to God because God wants you to sing to Him. Amen. And He deserves it. Become someone who sings. Quit being a backslidden Christian. Give God exactly what He deserves and sing the praises of God. Amen. God wants us to sing to Him. That's what the Bible talks about. That's why we got to get rid of this thing. You say, well, I can't hit a note. Praise God. You hit any note you can hit. Hit it the best you can hit it. Bless God. And have a time of it. Amen. That's why the Bible says make a joyful noise. And Lord, man, He made it for people like us that can't sing very good. My youth pastor, though, I'm telling you what, it doesn't matter. He hits all the notes before he's done. Amen. Somewhere along the way, he hits small. Praise God. Can't sing worth a lick, but I'll tell you what, I get a blessing sitting beside him and hearing him sing. Man, we got a guy named John Perez in our church, man. He went to the Philippines with us one time. He's a preacher machine, but he can't sing to save his life, man. I'd say he's sitting right there. He knows it, but bless God, he opens up that mouth at church service and sings and waves his arm, excited for God. Why? He's got something to sing about. My friends, I'll tell you something tonight. I know sometimes we forget that. It's just like praying. It's just like reading your Bible. Just like anything else. It's a commandment of God. We have got to sing to Him. And we have not only got to sing, we have got to make sure we're singing to Him, not to us. Sing praises unto God. Let's take our Bibles. One other last thing. It's like God starts in His Word with it, then He ends it with it too. Let's look at Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. We're almost done. Amen. You almost get to send me home and say, man, you drove me crazy for an hour, man. Let's get you going on the road. Amen. Go back to California. Or go back to Manteca or wherever. So I'm almost done. But look, one last scripture. Let's look at verse number 3. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Wow. That means way back since Moses, they sang that way. The Bible says, man, we get to heaven, we're going to sing that way. And God closes Revelation, says, man, we're going to sing for one reason. Sing a song to God. The servant of the Lord. Sing of the Lord, Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works. I'm telling you what, song and singing is a way to praising God. Singing is a way of thanking God for what He's done. Singing is a way to express in our hearts what God has done for us. But let me tell you something, my friend. Singing is for one purpose only, and it's for God above. And listen to me, the reason why some of you will argue with the preacher and argue with the standards of this church with music is because you want what you want, my friend. To tell you something, we ought not want what we want. We ought to want what He wants. It's time we go back to cars and take some CDs out and throw them out and say, bless God, I don't think that would honor you. I don't think that's what you'd want. Go home and clean yourselves and say, God, we want music that's sung for you in your praise and your glory and your honor. I know music affects me and I want the right stuff to affect me the right way. But bless God, more than I want that, I'm not worried about me anymore. I'm tired of being a selfish Christian who only wants what I want. I want to be a Christian that pleases you, God. I want to please you with my giving. I want to please you with my praying. I want to please you with the soul winning. And God, I want to please you with my music too. And I'll tell you one thing, whenever we have a question, we ought to ask ourselves at the time when we see that portion of Scripture, when Isaiah's heart was down, he was sad in his heart. King Uzziah died, he looked up to heaven. You know the Scripture, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. And it says the same thing in Revelation, my friends. We have a holy God, we have a pure God, and we ought to ask ourselves, is the music that we want and we listen to, is it honoring a holy and pure God? My friends, that'll help clear out a whole bunch of stuff that we think we want. Singing to the Lord. Sing a new song. God, is this pleasing to you? You know what? The question mark comes. Guess what? It's gone. We are special. Somebody wants to sing it. Here's a question mark. Throw it out the window. It ain't worth it. I don't want to sing anything questionable to holy God. I want God to look down from heaven and say, that's pretty good. And can I tell you something, my friends? Let me say this. Some of you are missing spiritual victory because you don't have victory in your music. You hide the tapes, or so to speak, or you sure won't play them at church or whatever. And even some of you young people, listen to me, you do the same thing. What's up here? Hey, look up here. I'll see, I'm getting ready close. I'm going to preach another hour. You can thank some of you up here. I'm going to preach longer because they're not listening. Now listen up, man. We'll be close, all right? That's why some of the young people, you'll hide the music with somebody. You don't want your parents or somebody else to hear. You'll hide that stuff. You don't know why? Because you're interested in what pleases me. See, all the young people going around, all the big music industries, are finding what they like, and ours are trying to appeal to those people. And by the way, the churches that want to build a big crowd are doing the same thing. That's why even independent fundamental Baptist churches will change their music program because it brings a bigger crowd. My friends, I'm not interested in a crowd. If God brings a crowd, praise God. But bless God, I don't care if we have five people. Give me five people to sing to God versus 1,000 people to sing to ourselves. Amen. Or to Satan. Time we get churches again to realize what singing's for, that's singing to God. That means, ladies, when you're on the piano and the organ, that means when other instruments come along, bless God, that they have one idea in mind, and that is, this is for God Almighty. Whenever special fans behind this pulpit and sing, they're singing saying, I don't care what anybody that's on tour thinks. I care what he thinks, I'm singing for God. And my friends, will tell you something. Let's go home and have a revival of husbands finding wives singing. Maybe she's doing a distance, man. She looks up to heaven, boy, God, you've been so good to me. Boy, Lord, what a marvelous Savior you are. I can't think about my wife and my five precious children. The church that God's given me, the miracles that God has done. He saved all my family now. All my family's almost in church. My intermediate family, I mean. God's done so many miracles for me. I could go on and on and on. Because I've got a reason to sing. And by the way, I'm going to continue to sing. And I think that maybe you ought to also. Amen. So while it's for the Lord, let's make sure, listen, let's make sure it's pleasing to Almighty God. Music makes or break a church. Makes or break a Christian. Why is it such a struggle? I'll tell you why. Me. I like what my little boy did. It's always about us, and sometimes we don't realize it's, so if we're going to focus on us, we ought to focus on what we're going to change. My little boy, Alex, he's not in here. He's a little 3-year-old, and he's about a year ago now. But he can barely talk. And he got in trouble, with his grandmother's watching. He got in trouble. He got on there, and he sat down. He's all mad. He's in trouble. He goes, It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. He had a pretty good idea. He's standing in need of prayer, amen? But his biggest problem is all about him. You don't know what? Our biggest problem is about us, too. The reason why your kids rebel is because it's about them and what they want, right? The reason why teenagers rebel is about what's them. The reason why marriage has struggles is because it's about what the husband wants or what the wife wants, amen? And the reason why churches struggle and Christian struggles is all about us. How about we just look up and say, God, it's all about you. And I guarantee you won't have as much difficulty. Take all the things you want to have. People show you all what the rock beats are like and all those different things. That's all great. Take it all in. Educate yourself in music. But listen to my friends. Take all the education. If you forget one thing, and that's that last point I just told you, you forget it all, man. You lost it. Singing's for one purpose. Music for one purpose. God Almighty. If you'll remember that, you'll keep your music ministry consecrated in your own personal life, not just the church. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach in this church. I hope I didn't damage anything or discourage anybody. That's not my goal. I hope maybe as a blessing to one person, that'd be great. Hope it's encouragement to the pastor, Lord, and to his family and others. Lord, I pray, God, help us to keep our music. Lord, you know, I don't preach a lot of message specific for that they have different things for. Told me as far as this is what we want to preach on. This is new to me. And God, I just pray, God, that there's some in here, Lord, they're not music experts. There's some music experts, Lord, they could learn something from this. There's a lot in here, God, that sometimes they want to do what's right, and they couldn't recognize it. I pray, Lord, they'd see how it affects them. I pray they'd ask themselves what it sound like. And then, Lord, I pray that the most important thing, God, they say, is it for God. Please, Lord, let us transform our lives with that major truth. Lord, we pray we want to do it for you.